This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
If they expect me to walk away from Luton with nothing, I'll make very sure there's nothing to walk away from.
Hello and welcome to the Oak Road Hatter podcast. I'm Billy Mully, joined today by Finlay Cannon following yesterday's 2-1 defeat to Wolverhampton Wanderers. Finn, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm better than yesterday. Now we've processed everything that happened and got to look forward to the next one, and also hope and expect that City can do a job on Forest as well.
It's a weird time this season because not only are we caring about our own results, but you know, Forest results are just as important. And of course, they play today against Man City. And after what Everton done to Liverpool, I'm not trusting any other club doing the business for us. As we keep mentioning, we're on the chase to 600 subscribers. So please, if you like the content that we provide, please hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Finn, it was a dent to our survival chances. And, you know, I called it after the game, another non-clapper for me. I found it a very disappointing result performance. And I think, you know, everything we've shown this season, I think, have been missing in the last two games in terms of the bravery to press. The aggression we show, just sort of the positive elements that make us Luton Town, I think, have been missing. I don't know if you see it that way.
No, I agree. There was a real lack of... I think the structure was the first problem. We looked really open defensively. Even though we were sitting quite deep for a lot of the game, somehow they were still finding ways of getting in behind, particularly just in the wider areas of the back three. I thought our press was so off. And it has been for the last few games. I think the players we're missing has had a massive impact on that, because Morris can't do the pressing on his own and he's not the quickest player. So when he's trying to press, they usually have time to get it away. I think missing someone like Chio has a huge impact on that as well, because he is so quick and so aggressive in that press. And when we were going forward, I think we really just lacked any sort of structure, and players were struggling to string a couple of basic passes together at times, which was, it was so frustrating to watch, because Wolves had it so easy at times and they managed the game so well as well.
Yeah, I think looking at, I guess, the performance at, sort of as a whole, again, I don't think it's a question of work rate. I think work rate, we've been the players that have played the vast majority of the season have given it their all, and it's well documented that we think that. I think fatigue is definitely something we've seen kick in these last two games. I think confidence has been zapped as well. I think, and as you mentioned, I think that starts from the press. Our confidence to be brave and step up and, you know, back our teammate that's behind them to also do the same job. It's just taken a little bit of a hit, and I think that all sort of comes together and allowed Wolves to have it as easy as they did. I did think it was a scoreline that flattered us. There were, of course, there were positive moments, and we'll go on to that. But I think as a whole, it was disappointing when we've been a team that have typically responded very well after we've had setbacks. And I still think we will respond. I still think this Everton game has, you know, with the importance placed on it and with players continuing to get back to full fitness, I do have every bit of faith that we will see this positive response. But yeah, yesterday wasn't it. We'll go through the goals, Finn. And the first one, I guess we did actually start fairly well. There was somewhat of a response. Had a couple of good opportunities. Morris having a good opportunity. Barkley having a good strike. But it was Wolves that opened the scoring. Reece Burke, for me, had to do a bit better. We've spoken about this 1v1 defending, how Rob Edwards prioritises this. This is a system, and a style of his play. He wants us to go man for man. But when you go man for man, you have to defend better than Reece Burke did there. It was difficult because it's another deflected goal as well. And it was just a really kind of shitty one to concede, weren't it?
Yeah, I think he got stretched a lot by Cunha. He was struggling to keep up with him at times. And Cunha was getting into some really clever positions as well that was really opening up the space, which was leaving Mengi pretty isolated at times. You saw Mengi a couple of times in the first half having to track back on his own and really go one-on-one and make a lot of last-ditch challenges as well. And then you saw, I think it was in the second half, where Osho had to make a... Well, Osho slipped as a player was coming into the box as well, and it left us quite isolated in the box again. And I think Wolves just knew how to get around our man-to-man system, which was the problem, because we weren't willing to really change the way we were defending. I think with how fluid the likes of Hwang and Cunha are, it would have been more effective to maybe go a bit more zonal because they were going to be moving around a lot. But it's too late to think about that now. And we didn't really put any pressure on them in midfield at times. I think Barkley looked a little bit... He looked quite tired, in my opinion. He was struggling to make a difference to the game. And I think Lokonga was getting the ball a lot and then having no options to pass to as well. I thought our best player, particularly in the first half, was Clicker. I think he was our most effective player, particularly going forward. But as you mentioned, Morris had a couple of chances early on. I think he had two or three headers in the first half, and I think he really probably should have scored at least one of them.
Yeah, just going back to what you were saying with Wolves, and I think they deserve a lot of credit. We spoke about Gary O'Neill, how impressive he's been as a manager. And tactically, I think I really appreciated how good they were yesterday, because I mentioned our press being off and you know, the bravery might have gone. But I think that was also to do with the fact that Wolves had a lot of runners in Hwang, Cunha, stretching that back line, which I think forced us back a bit. They noticed that, and then they started to pick up a few spaces sort of in the middle. They drew us out. They drew our central midfielders forward and then picked up spaces in between the back and midfield lines. They did that really effectively, and I think that's how they really hurt us. We'll go on to the second goal. And it was very disappointing, not just because of the time of the goal, when we're trying to find a way back into the game and you just want to keep things tight. You don't want to concede a second, because we know how important a second goal against us can be. It was a floated ball into the box that really should have been defended better. No one really attacking the ball from our perspective. I think it was Hashioka losing his man. And generally, Luton are a team that defend set pieces very well. We have to be. But that was just, it was just poor all round.
Yeah, it was. And I think Hashi Okereke struggled in a few of those situations where he's had to defend an aerial duel. I was surprised he was the man that was left on Totti, but I think because they worked the corner out and then out again and put a ball in, I think it sort of moved it around a bit. But you saw Osho come out and be the man to press the, I think it was the midfielder that was Lamina that delivered the ball in, and Osho was the one that came and pressed him. And I felt that he probably should have been one of the defenders in the box preparing to sort of header the ball away rather than coming out to press the man. And I think maybe having someone else coming out and pressing would have made a big difference to that. But I think recently, a few games recently, we have struggled defending set pieces, which is really frustrating because we're not really scoring from that many anymore either. The first half of the season, we were so dangerous from set pieces. But I think both defensively and attacking, they've just sort of dropped off recently. I know we did score sort of from a set piece in the second half, but it was a bit of a, it came about from basically nothing. We hadn't really threatened all day. But we, I don't know, we just need to look a lot more solid and be willing to just put our head in and battle for a ball a bit more at the moment.
It's weird the way it sort of worked out because, as you mentioned, we did look more of a threat from set pieces at the start of the season. I think we did defend them better. Typically, you'd associate that with a team battling for relegation. That's your first call of action, being resolute from set pieces and being more of a threat from set pieces. It's weird the way it sort of switched around. But as we mentioned, the goal we got to half the deficit, you can kind of class that from a set piece. The world's longest 1-2, as it was described by somebody on the radio. It was Morris that turned it in, but Alfie Doughty took the corner. Corley Woodrow volleyed it straight back out to Alfie Doughty, to the surprise of probably all 22 players on the pitch and every fan in attendance. Doughty had a bit of time, picked out Reece Burke, who nodded it back to Morris, who reacted really quickly, as he does in the box. And that was, you know, I think quite undeserved, but we found ourselves back in the game. And from there, I think just before Eli had come on, and he looked good, he looked positive, and we did look a little bit more threatening going forwards. But yeah, it was a good way to score, and Morris getting his 10th of the season, joining, I think Mick Harford as was the last player to do it, actually, to get double figures in the top division in 1992. Good company, of course, but getting 10 goals in the Premier League. Fair play, Colton Morris.
Yeah, and it was a brilliant finish as well. He took it on the volley almost, and his leg had to be quite high in the air, so he had to really get himself into a tough position to score it. I think it was unintentionally really well worked, because there's no way Corley Woodrow meant to get that ball back to Alfie when that volley, it looked like the worst shot of the game at first, then it somehow ended up being, yeah, as you mentioned, the best 1-2 probably of the season. But I think that goal is massive for Morris as well. You see how much it means to him when he scores and how much every result means to him as well. I think for him personally, it's huge to be able to get to 10 goals, because he's really worked his way through the divisions after he was at Norwich originally and he didn't really get any opportunities in the top flight and has worked his way up. And I think for so much of the season, particularly the second half of the season, he's been the only man up there and he's had to work so hard. He's been bullied around by defenders. He's been constantly in the physical battle. And he is one player that really just wears his heart on his sleeve every match. So for him, getting to double figures and being in such esteemed company is so important. I think you can see why Luton fans love him so much. He cares so much. He leads from the front. He's had this captaincy thrust upon him since just out of nowhere after obviously what happened to Locks. And I think he's done that so well. He speaks so well and he leads everyone so well. So yeah, I couldn't be more happy for the player that scored it. It was just a shame that we couldn't pose more of a threat before that, because as you mentioned, when Eli came on, he looked really good. I thought he changed the game actually when he came on. It added so much onto us on that press. He was getting up in players' faces. He was doing what he does best, with dribbling around a couple of players or like turning a couple of players. And I think it completely changed the way we were playing. And I think it helped that we had Berry on the pitch as well, because he's another player that, no matter what stage of the game, he'll be up in your face constantly, putting a tackle in or getting in the box, and he doesn't care if he's going to get hit in the process. So I think the changes definitely helped for us, but I think it was probably a bit too late, and Wolves knew how to control the game at that point. They slowed it right down. They took a lot of time taking set pieces and taking the ball out from the goalkeeper as well. And I think Gary O'Neill, as you mentioned, has done brilliant things with them, and they're a very, very clever team that have got a lot of experience in them. And I think if we had that experience, we'd probably be doing slightly better this season.
Yeah, circling back to Colton Morris, 10 Premier League goals. Not too many players in a season achieve that, let alone from a relegation threatened club. So yeah, Colton Morris has done a terrific job, and everything you said about his leadership. I think every time we concede a goal, he's the first one to try and rile up and get his teammates back to a positive sort of state of mind. Every interview he does, everything he does with the media, he seems like an absolute gem. Yeah, couldn't be happier for him. He's been very impressive given the lack of support I think he's had in recent weeks. He's had to do a lot of the dirty work himself. He's held the ball up quite effectively. And quite often, like even like yesterday, he has three centre-backs marshalling him, which is very difficult at the best of times, let alone when you're not kind of getting the support you kind of expect. Eli's return might change how we operate and have someone in closer proximity to him. But yeah, 10 Premier League goals, Colton Morris. Eli could equal that next week or during the run-in, which again, having two players with 10 Premier League goals will be fantastic. Even better if their goals to keep us in the Premier League. We're going to head into a short break, but we'll continue to assess some player performances from the Wolves defeat.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
We are back for part two of today's episode, reviewing the Wolverhampton Wanderers defeat. And Finn, we mentioned in the preview that we'd played in twice already. We drew in both the games. Was it going to be a third? It didn't play out that way. Didn't deserve it either, as we've mentioned. But I mentioned also that there's a few positives to take away, and we're going to circle back to Elijah being back. I was going to say Nathan Jones. I don't know where Nathan Jones came out. But Rob did say that Elijah was nearing full fitness. He could be back. We saw him on the bench. It was another little bit of celebration because the time of his injury, he was absolutely fantastic. He had hit great form. He was unplayable, especially that game against Brighton. And he has been a massive, massive miss. But his return, I guess, signals some optimism for what remains. And if that's not enough, his performance against Wolves when he did come on added a bit more optimism because I thought he was fantastic. Eli is a massive player for us. A lot of the scoring pressure has been on Colton Morris. That sort of now gets shared out a little bit more. And he gives us a different kind of way to play. Eli returning has to be a massive positive.
Yeah, I think it was the one player we missed maybe the most. While he was in form, particularly around January, we really looked like we had everything that we needed to stay up at that point. And then as soon as we lost him, we didn't win a game for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I think him being missing was forcing us into playing in such a different way that we hadn't done all season. We had to go really direct and compact, get the ball up to Morris as well. And I think having him playing off Morris adds such a different element. And he is unlike most players in the Premier League. He's maybe unlike any striker in the Premier League. whilst he is tall and whilst he is quite strong, he's really good with his feet and he's very mobile as well. And I think he causes such a variety of threats for defenders to have to deal with. And having him back is massive. And you just hope that with him back and with Moraes having that strike partner who he plays so well with, that it really gives us something going into the last few games and it takes the pressure off a few other players as well. Because while we've got no Chio, we've had Chong playing, we've had Townsend playing, and we've had Clicker playing. But quite often we've lacked that man in midfield, but with the two up front or one slightly off the other, it means we've got another option slightly deeper to help Barkley and to help Sambi as well and to link up play a bit more. And his pressing, I think, is the main element as well. He's so good on the press. He doesn't give a defender a minute to think. And that's what we've missed since he's been gone. They've been able to play through us a lot of the time, different teams have, because we've just had to step off them. And the way we lost him as well was so frustrating. It just went off in a warm-up against Man City in the FA Cup, that if we hadn't progressed through to the next round of the FA Cup and to play Man City, we might not have lost him in the first place. So it's a real... I guess it was frustrating that we lost him in the first place. And then the amount of time he's been out for as well, because when you see a player go off in the warm-up, you quite often think, oh, he won't be gone long. But he's actually been gone such a long time. And it's really impacted the way we've played and it's really impacted the results.
And I think with Eli coming back as well, we've now had Sambi for two games. Everton will be the third. Of course, Adebayo coming back into the thick of things. Ogbene seemingly not being too far away. Again, plenty of reason to be optimistic and to be positive about what the rest of the campaign can hold. Of course, three cup finals. We said it from the Brentford game where it was five cup finals. They really are growing in importance, and having somebody like Eli back can only be a good thing. I think as well with Eli coming back and Sambi coming back, not only does it make us a better team, but competition levels are going to be high going into last year. We've seen sort of Luke Berry, sort of in the absence of a few of those players, he became quite important, contributing with some decent performances. Corley Woodrow as well, that a lot of Luton fans wouldn't have expected to have played as much football and to make as much of an impact as he has. Yeah, I think the whole squad gets better for having players like Eli and Sambi back in the squad. Also going to circle back to, if there are any Wolves fans listening or watching this, trying to listen to hear if we have anything positive about them. I think we witnessed one of the best individual performances that we've seen this season. And when you play against the likes of Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool, you expect it to come from there. But yesterday, Mario Lemina really, really impressed me. He's a player that impressed me at Kenilworth Road. He's had a very good season, but his ability to dictate play, he was strong on the ball. He was absolutely everything you want from a central midfielder. And at times we found it really difficult to monitor him, to keep tabs on him. And I think he's one player that absolutely flourished.
Yeah, I thought he was, I like you. I think he was probably the best player on the pitch. He controlled the game, but he's been like that all season. So it shouldn't have really come as too much of a shock to us that he would be so good. I think him alongside João Gomes in that midfield, they're just such next level combination when they're together. Lamine is very combative and is able to distribute the ball effectively to João Gomes, who then finds other players. And I think they caused us problems throughout the entire game yesterday. But Lamina in particular, who's obviously, as I mentioned, he breaks up play and then he finds a teammate to play it off to. And he was the one who obviously got the assist for their second goal as well. And it was a brilliantly delivered ball as well. Even under pressure from Osho, he really managed to lift it into the far post as well. And I think had we had someone like Mario Lamina in midfield, I think it would have made a huge difference. Obviously, Sambi and Barkley are absolutely quality players, but I think we're missing that one extra player alongside them. And obviously for us, that probably would have been Nakamba, but he's been unavailable for most of the season. But yeah, Lamina was probably one of the best players we played against all season. And even every person you hear, every pundit you hear has said the same thing as well. And he looks like a completely different player to the one that was at Southampton as well. So Wolves have managed to find a real gem there. And I don't think they paid too much money for him either. So you've got to give credit where it's due to Wolves and to Gary O'Neill and to the recruitment team there for managing to unearth his ability.
Yes, it's a strange one because now that Lokonga's back, we sort of expected us to go back to dominating midfield battles, you know, almost instantly, because we remember what Lokonga and Barkley were like. It's sort of January time where they were absolutely fantastic. There was this sort of notion that, you know, they're back together instantly, it's going to be okay again. But I think that was sort of a tough reminder that there is plenty of quality in midfield across the Premier League. Wolves, you know, not necessarily the best squad in the division, but they've got a very, very good sort of midfield duo slash trio, players that come into midfield as well, the combinations. Yeah, very, very good side. And they didn't look a side to me that had lost their last four home games. And we'd spoken about the form, hadn't we, that they hadn't. I think it was only 2 points in five games. They didn't look that kind of team. Although when we did score, we put them under the cosh a bit. They did look a little bit more shaky. But yeah, I think it was a tough reminder going into the game thinking, you know, this is a winnable game given their form. It was a tough reminder of the quality that we do come up against week in, week out in the Premier League. Something a little bit different now, Finn. We've spoken about the squad. We've spoken about the players we've got injured. We've spoken about injuries nonstop this season. But what would your 11 be? Because we've seen plenty of players in Luton shirt this season. We've seen plenty of players that typically would be on the fringes of things get more minutes than we would have anticipated. What would your 11 be if we had all options available?
So my fully fit 11, obviously in goal, you've got to go Thomas Kaminski. I think it's a no-brainer having him in the team. Kaminski in goal. Then centre-backs, I think you've got probably Osho, Mengi and Lockyer. Although Bell on that left side is also very good and adds some experience to that left-hand side. So that's a difficult one to decide on that one. Right wing back, I would actually go with Ogbeni, I think. I think he's going forward, he's such a threat, but defensively this season he's looked really good as well. I think it was between him and Kabore, it is difficult to decide because Kabore has looked really good in some games, but he struggled in others. But I think Ogbeni offers that a little bit more going forward. Then obviously Alfie at left wing back, that's pretty much a dead cert. In midfield, I'd go with Barkley and Sambi. I think, again, that's one that you can't really debate too much. And then I'd go for Eli, Morris and either Chong or Clicker. I think Chong gives you like a real direct threat, but sort of gets in the way with Eli when they're together at times because they both want to be on that left-hand side. So I think probably Clicker because he can drop into midfield as well. So yeah, I'd go Kaminski, Osho, Lockyer, Mengi, Ogbeni, Barkley, Lokonga, Doherty, and Clicker, Morris and Adebayo.
Very strong team that. I would have liked to see that play a few more times this season. I think in agreement with you, I'd go Thomas Kaminski again. It's not too much of a debate. Then, yeah, this is where it gets difficult because we haven't seen, there's a fair few players in that centre-back position that we haven't seen enough of, like, you know, Anderson. And I guess Lockyer, in a sense, we haven't seen him enough in the Premier League setting. But I think just naturally because of his leadership abilities and how much I think we've missed those leadership abilities in the back line, I'd have probably Mengi, Lockyer and Bell. Because I think Bell, the left-footed argument, I think, is a massive one. There's so many times someone like Osho receives the ball and a pass out to Doughty would be on from a natural left footer, and it just doesn't. I think in terms of building up attacks and sort of in possession fluidity, having Bell is massive, and I think he's got better defensively during this Premier League season. So yeah, I think Bell would slot in there for me. There's of course Burke, Osho and Anderson are all near misses, and I think that's a good place to be where it's quite competitive. Unfortunately, injuries have hindered that. Right wing back, yeah, as you say, I think it's a straight shootout between Kabore and Ogbene. I think I want to get Ogbene up further up the pitch. So I'm going to go for Kabore and then Doughty at left wing back. Barkley Lokonga, two incredible players that we've been fortunate enough to see this season. And then, yeah, this is where the front line gets interesting as well, because I think Chong's been fantastic fairly recently. I think Clark's been very good. I think over the last couple of games, he's been our best offensive player. But I will go Ogbene on the right, Eli on the left, and then Morris up top. I think that's such a dynamic, interchangeable front three as well. Strong, quick, intelligent as well. It's an intelligent front three. And I think those three together would cause a lot of Premier League defences a lot of problems. So yeah, again, quite difficult because you're missing out a few players that I think deserve to be very close to that 11. It's just a shame that Rob Edwards hasn't had too often the hard decisions of a near fully fit squad. Well, that is all for today, Finn. Thank you very much for joining. Thank you, everybody else, for watching or listening. It's Everton at home on Friday at Kenilworth Road. We need it to be similar to Watford. We need it to be similar to Sunderland. It can be an absolutely pivotal moment in our fight to survive the Premier League campaign. Manchester thinking about it already, and we're still 5 days away. I don't know how this week's going to go. But until then, it is goodbye from us.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.